Hello, and welcome back to MetalDisciple.com's Metalheads Podcast. My name is George Washburn.
And I'm Buke.
And here we are with episode 2. Who thought we'd come back for another episode?
Yep, back again.
I just wanted to say before we get started that last week's episode, and now this week's episode, is now available on iTunes, so you can pick that up there. We also have a new website, wearemetalheads.com, and you can stream the episodes there as well.
Make sure if you find us on iTunes to subscribe to the feed. Leave us a review what you think.
Yes, please let us know what you think. Hopefully we will improve. So when I was working on last week's episode, I noticed I noticed a lot of uhs and ums. And so anyways, I cut out as many as I could, but some of them, there was just no way to get rid of them. So I apologize. We are going to be working on that, and hopefully
we will. I think it's part of the learning curve that we have to get over that goes along with this, too. Well, it was a lot of podcasts I listen to.
Sure.
They all talk about this.
It was mostly me. Yeah, you had a few, too. So anyway, a new topic I wanted to cover this week are new releases. I figured it would be cool to talk about all the albums that come out during the week that people might want to hear about. There's so many albums that come out every week, I can't possibly review them all on the site. So I thought maybe it'd be cool to at least mention some of the ones that are sound kind of cool.
Kind of hit the highlights.
Exactly, the highlights. That's a good way of putting it. One standout album this week is the new Aborted. It's called The Necrotic Manifesto. These guys are fucking brutal.
Yeah.
It sounds...
I think you know what you're getting into when you listen to them.
Yeah, they are pretty damn heavy. And this album, the little bit that I've listened to so far, it sounds even heavier than last time. Autopsy, they are releasing a new album this week. Tourniquets, Hacksaws, and Graves. I know these guys. I've listened to them somewhat in the past. They're obviously a classic death metal band. I listened to some of this album earlier last week, actually, and it sounded really good, so I'm pretty impressed with that. There's a new Death reissue this week of their Leprosy album. You gotta love Chuck.
You got to.
Yeah, so you know what you're getting there.
Anything special with that did they say on there?
I did not notice.
Mm. Yeah, maybe probably a live track or something, knowing the way they do remasters now.
They usually add something, yeah. Also this week is a new band called Devil You Know featuring Howard Jones from Killswitch Engage. Are you going to pick that one up?
I've had my finger on the pulse of this one for a while. I have no problem admitting that I'm a big Killswitch fan. I have for a while. You know, Howard left the band for personal reasons a couple years back, formed this new band, The Devil You Know. I saw the video earlier in the year, or towards the end of last year, and the sound that I took away from it was kind of a Fear Factory type of sound, that fast pace, real heavy on the fast drum work.
Sure.
The drummer, in fact, is actually an ex-Fear Factory member.
Really?
Was from Divine Heresy.
Oh, right. Okay.
Which, you know, kind of has that similar sound and speed to it.
I actually listened to some tracks from the album before I knew that it was Howard's new band. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, and I've always been...
It's not bad. And then when I saw that it was Howard, I was like, oh, well, all right. Well, maybe I like this a little better than Killswitch Engage.
I have always been a fan of his screaming vocals. He's really clear with what he screams, and I've always liked that in screamers.
Right on.
And vocalists, so I would definitely be getting that.
Another album I know that you'll be interested this week is the new Ed Guy.
I have already been looking to buy this one. A couple of their albums are some of my favorites.
This one's called Space Police, Defenders of the Crown. Sounds a little, you know, goofy, but that's Ed Guy.
Their Rocket Ride album is one of my absolute favorite power metal albums.
You gotta love that Tobias is holding the torch for this older style of metal.
But, you know, I just wanted to say that the thing I like about Ed Guy over, you know, his other projects, Avantasia and stuff, is that it's more true power metal in the sense it's not as symphonic and where you hear, you know, powerful orchestra sounds and that type of sound. It's more just the real early Hammerfall style, just classic power metal band.
Yeah.
Super catchy songs, too.
Ed Guy is one of the few power metal bands that I still really dig. I mean, there's still plenty of power metal bands that I dig. Don't worry. I'm not trashing the genre or anything. But there's a lot of crap too.
There is. There is. If we ever get into a list of like our top 5-10 songs, their song King of Fools, easily one of my top 10 favorite songs.
Maybe next episode we should do a list of our favorite power metal bands.
Maybe.
Moving on, the new Insomnium album, Shadows of the Dying Sun. These guys you gotta love.
Yeah, you turn me on to these guys.
Another band coming out this week is Lord Mantis. You probably haven't heard those guys, but no. they're pretty harsh death metal stuff. I heard their last album, so I'm curious to see what this one will sound like. The next band is one that I've been waiting curiously to find out what their new album's going to sound like. This is another one of the Metal Blade Doom bands. This is Portrait. I think you mentioned to me recently that you'd heard these guys, and you were like, what's the deal with these guys? Well, we'll find out this week when the new album drops. There's also a Saxon Live album out this week.
Those guys are still putting stuff out.
Yeah, St. George's Day Sacrifice, live in Manchester.
They sure have enough tracks that they can pull from.
Yeah, I've never been a huge Saxon fan, like, from back in the day. When I first heard Saxon in the mid-late 80s, you know, it didn't sound like Metallica or Megadeth, the bands that I was getting into at the time. And so I wasn't really into it. I was like, meh, okay, you know, I get it. You know, they're new wave British heavy metal, whatever, but meh, not for me. Then in more recent years, I've been going back thinking maybe I should look into it and rediscover the band because I'm probably missing out on some things. And recently I picked up a couple of the albums on vinyl, you know, Strong Arm of the Law, Denim and Leather, stuff like that. And I have to admit, it's actually pretty cool. So,
do they get, I know with the long career that they've had, do you hear other bands really talk about them?
A lot of bands list them as an influence. I mean, that's what I was, you know, particularly like Lars Ulrich from Metallica. And, you know, a lot of the guys that came up in the 80s, they really had a passion for Saxon. And that's one of the reasons why I went back to listen to them again, because there's got to be something there. You know, they're still around. They've had this longevity for all these years. There's got to be something that I'm just not picking up on.
In the States?
No, not really.
Yeah.
The final album that I'm going to mention this week is the new Whitechapel, Our Endless War. I know these guys are a band you like.
Yes, I do like these guys. Just your standard issue, like almost, I hate the genre term, but I've seen it attached to them, like a deathcore type of sound. You know, they're in the same vein as your Despised Icons, your, you know, Suicide Silence, those type of bands. They've done a very successful, if I'm correct, Indiegogo campaign for this to actually do a DVD of a concert right around this time, I think, to go along with the making this album, if I'm correct. But I know on the internet there's a lot of talk surrounding this band.
I just want to sort of derail the whole conversation here and just mention how much I hate bands that have core associated with them. Now, I do actually kind of like Whitechapel. They're kind of cool. They're not as stupid as so many of the like metalcore bands. Metalcore. Fucking hate.
We're talking to you, Trina.
Yes, fucking. I love you, Trina, but God, you have terrible taste in music. Any of these bands, like the metalcore bands, they're like screaming, and then they sing,
and then they sing so feminine,
they sing so pretty, and
yes,
oh my, like it's like,
and they're all skinny, pretty boys, you know, who may have some tattoos, you know, may look a little rough.
I saw something the other day where somebody was saying how they only like real metal bands like Black Veil Brides. I almost swallowed my own tongue. I was like, what? And they're not even metal. I can't even call them
you
metal.
You put it, when I asked you what you thought of these bands, you put it to me in a great way, I'm sorry, a couple months back. You put it in the sense that this is kind of the Hollywood kind of processed, almost kind of, you know, formulated.
Yeah.
Kind of like carbon copy bands they're.
I like to refer to it as Hot Topic metal.
Perfect way to put it.
Is that store even still around?
It does. Yeah, it's kind of transitioned more into like music and like a video game nerdy store.
Yeah, Hot Topic metal. It's like,
it's a great way to put it. These are the kids you see hanging out at the mall who, when I was younger, coming up in the metal scene, a lot of kids were wearing, you know, the Slipknot and stuff.
Yeah.
And just because they may scream, they think they're heavy. And that's what these kids listen to. And these bands sell a lot of albums.
I don't care if you sell a lot of albums. I'm not going to hate you because you sell a lot of albums. Yeah. Metallica sells a lot of albums. I love Metallica. That's not a reason to hate a band. But the fact that it feels so geared towards selling albums, these kids, they want something rebellious and aggressive, but they need that catchy vocal hook in the chorus for them to be able to like the music at all.
And it's a great way to put that. Because, you know, when you even hear the chorus and the singing in the chorus, and I know this is not Whitechapel where we started with,
right?
But the singing in the chorus is a very feminine sounding male.
It's very generic.
Very.
It's so bubblegum pop. I don't care if you have clean, you know, going back to Ed Guy, they have very catchy, clean vocals, but it doesn't sound fake. And that's what these metalcore, deathcore bands, I mean, deathcore maybe not. The deathcore probably doesn't have clean vocals.
Mm-mm.
And so like Whitechapel, maybe I like them, maybe I don't. But anybody that's metalcore, like what's another one of those bands? Vampires Everywhere. One of the worst bands I've ever heard.
I see some of them. I was looking on the charts the other day, band of Mice and Men.
Yeah.
One of the bands that sells a lot of records. Oh, I can't even think of their frickin'. I think they're an Australian band, if I'm correct. I can't even think of their name.
I have a rule when it comes to band names. If you have four words in your band name, you're probably metalcore and you probably suck.
Probably.
There are, of course, exceptions to this, but it seems like most of the metalcore bands have four words in their name, and when I listen to them, I just don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems so fake and cheap. So not
totally
metal.
Agree. Totally agree.
I have a lot of not metal rants that I could go off on, like the fucking Deftones. Why do they keep showing up on best of metal lists and year-end lists? And they're not metal.
I think it goes back to that same point that if you throw in screaming because that's edgy.
Do they scream? I haven't listened to them since their first or second album.
They do. I will admit, when I was younger, they're Around the Fur album with My Own Summer on it.
I thought they were like a Korn ripoff.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
Kind of around.
That's enough
similar.
For me. You know, whatever.
But it was just that edgy. You know, that's, I think, what get kids. Kids think it's metal or think it's super heavy if they scream, if they're harsh. And that's what a lot of those bands do.
Yeah. Well,
but they also, because you see a lot of females attracted to those type of bands. And a lot of the artists, again, aren't your metalheads. You know, your classic big guy, long hair, you know. These are your skinny, maybe 120 pounds, sopping wet band members who have pretty spiky hair, covered in tats.
Yep.
Who, when they're on stage, also look good to these fans. Not to us. We're not listening to them.
Don't care what you look like. I only care what you sound like.
Yep. What else we got?
Since we're on the topic of bitching about things, why don't we talk about the Golden Gods?
Yes. This, oh boy. Revolver magazine.
I read Revolver. I have a subscription.
What do you think of them? Obviously, if you have a subscription, do you think that they have a place?
I subscribe to all the metal
like
magazines.
Metal Hammer.
I have Metal Hammer,
Decibel.
I have Terrorizer, I have Decibel, and I have Revolver. I get them because I like to, you know, because of what I do, I have to keep on top of what's going on. I need to know all the new music. I need to know all the new news. So I get all these magazines. I have to say, of the four, Metal Hammer and Terrorizer, the British magazines are by far my favorite.
By far.
Decibel's pretty good. I mean, Revolver's usually okay, but like Decibel and Revolver, sometimes they pander to a little bit to this stupid American bullshit metal.
There you go. That's what we're talking about. Yep, those bands, just like we were talking about.
So it doesn't surprise me that the Golden Gods turned out the way they did.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, what the fuck were they thinking?
Now, forgive me here. I should have maybe done a little more research. I don't know if this is their second or third year.
Oh, it's
maybe fourth.
Oh, it's got to be at least. I mean,
maybe three or four. It's not, you know, we're not talking 10 years here.
I don't think so. But I mean, Dio was alive when they were doing these. Yeah, because they got like a lifetime achievement award.
I just wanted to go over some of the highlights to this and, you know, get your input on some of these
lowlights.
First off, the big the show started with Marilyn Manson doing a surprise intro of Slayer.
I dig Marilyn Manson. Well, I dig like first three or album, four albums or so of Marilyn Manson.
You don't dig the weird fat Marilyn Manson that he is now?
Not so much. He's a little too weird for me these days. His music's not as interesting as it used to be, but I still respect the man. Not entirely metal, you know, he's kind of his own his own genre almost, but you know, I respect him, but I'm okay with him being at the Golden Gods.
So Slayer came out I should say I think right before this show happened, the award ceremony was announced, they had signed to Nuclear Blast.
That's right. I was surprised by that. I mean, you know, Nuclear Blast is a great label. It's a pretty big metal label, but they've always been on, you know, bigger labels.
And did I see that correctly, too, with speaking about new labels and albums? Was there a new record, you know, the first one produced without...
Jeff Hanneman?
Oh, that.
You mean Rick Rubin?
Yes.
I hadn't read that much yet.
I thought I may have seen that. I thought I saw that with their last album.
It makes sense. I want to bring up, since we came onto this topic, I wasn't thinking this ahead of time, but... What do you think about Slayer without Jeff Hanneman? Is it okay? You know, some people are calling for the band to break up after Jeff died. I'm a little bit on the fence myself. I was listening to the new track Implode.
Mm-hmm. Which they played.
And it didn't really move me. It was okay. I mean, it was kind of semi-typical Slayer.
When was the last album, though, that caught you by Slayer?
Gosh. God Hates Us
God
All.
God Hates Us All, I was about to say. That was my last of the recent releases that still I can put on, and I say this is a Slayer album.
I've listened to or read some of the previous band interviews, and most of the Slayer albums tend to be either Jeff-centric or Kerry King-centric in terms of the amount of songs that each of these guys writes. Some of the albums, they split evenly, but you know, a lot of them, they tend to be either Jeff or Kerry-centric, and I seem to prefer the Jeff-centric albums. No disrespect for Kerry King. I want to be clear on that. Kerry King is a god. I love the man. He's an incredible player, incredible songwriter. But in terms of Slayer albums, I think I tend to prefer the Jeff Hanneman stuff. I mean, come on. Jeff gave us Angel of Death, the greatest heavy metal song ever.
Yep, it's an anthem.
And I'm not opposed to the band continuing without Jeff.
See, but the thing is, it's funny you bring this topic up when we're talking about the Revolver, because I don't know if you saw the bands that played there, but Suicide Silence played.
You know my opinion on that.
And that's why I was wanted to mention that, because you asked me about Slayer here and what you thought about them without Jeff.
It really depends on the band. Led Zeppelin, they could have continued without John Bonham, and I probably would have been okay with that. Metallica continued without Cliff Burton. Obviously, I was okay with that. Mm-hmm.
Mitch dies, you're not okay with it.
No, I mean, because Suicide Silence is one of those bands that has core attached.
Mm-hmm. It's and like your Whitechapels, yep.
And I was never a big fan of the band until I went and saw them live. And the thing that converted me for Suicide Silence was Mitch.
Oh.
His stage presence was amazing. So incredible.
He was amazing.
He blew me away. He converted me on the
nice
spot.
Nice guy when we talked to him, too.
We met him afterwards. He was so encouraged. He was nice. We took pictures with him.
Yep.
And he converted me. And from that day forward, I was going to be a Suicide Silence fan.
Tragically, you know, he died in that accident.
And so, to me, that was the end of Suicide Silence. The guys that are in the band, I'm sure, they're good. Obviously, they're good. And I'm not trying to knock them in any way. But the thing that was Suicide Silence to me was Mitch.
But if you're one of those band members, are you just, I'm sorry, you're now out of work?
No, of course not. But you could change the name of the band and do something different. Like,
do those songs never get played again?
They could play them live. That's fine. I'm not saying they shouldn't work or they shouldn't continue doing what they do. It just seems to me that Suicide Silence was a Mitch thing. And as such, should have ended with Mitch. That's not always the case with bands. AC/DC, Bon Scott died. If they'd ended then, that would have been a real tragedy. Brian Johnson, incredible singer.
I think the real tragedy here is, you know me, you know I'm an All Shall Perish fan.
Yes.
I have loved them. I've been waving their flag since I first heard them.
To poach the singer from All Shall Perish is sort of a disservice to both bands.
It is. I'm upset because I think this now will bring about maybe an end to All Shall Perish because Suicide Silence is your hot topic. Going back to that band, they are the type of band that you see hung up in stores. You see kids wearing. When you look at like Job for a Cowboy,
oh yeah,
they were really out front, like Suicide Silence, and taking this genre and really, you know, getting it pretty some commercial success in the metal world. Yeah. They were starting to see, you know, supporting dates on tours and stuff like that. So going back to my original point, I was upset in the sense that maybe this will be an end to All Shall Perish because the rest of those members, are they now going out finding a new singer?
It's a domino effect, you know? All Shall Perish lose their singer to go to Suicide Silence, who should have started a new band. So now Suicide Silence is, in my mind, tainted a little bit. And now All Shall Perish is damaged goods, too, because they don't have their singer. It takes a really amazing singer to come in and pick up where the last amazing singer left off.
Is the issue you have, then, with the person who comes in to replace, or is it that the singer is what makes the band? Or if whoever member is that band, if tragically something happens to them, do you carry on? Is that the problem you have? You know me, Opeth, my favorite band. Mike is Opeth.
I'm pretty sentimental. So time will tell whether the All Shall Perish guy going to Suicide Silence will perhaps be a brilliant idea. But for the moment, that's the way I feel. Until he proves to be far superior, or at least as adequate as Mitch, that's the way I'm going to feel.
Okay, if you're three or four albums into Anthrax and Joey passes away.
Anthrax is a very interesting topic here because Joey Belladonna left Anthrax and John Bush left Armored Saint. I'm a big Armored Saint fan. I am not a John Bush with Anthrax fan. Did not like any of the John Bush material.
You've always said that.
Not because I have anything against John Bush. He's a great singer. But it just was not Anthrax. The thing that made Anthrax Anthrax for me was Joey Belladonna. As soon as Joey came back to Anthrax and they released the latest album, I was back on board. It was 20 years disappeared, and I was a fanatical Anthrax fan again.
I see where you're going. So going back to the show itself, the awards.
We did kind of get derailed from that,
But it was good because Suicide Silence did play.
Okay.
At the show. It was marred by a bunch of technical difficulties, apparently.
Apparently.
But they did play. So I want to get your opinion on some of these awards. And I just laugh looking at some of these. The Best Vocalist Award. I'm going to say this wrong. Josh Homme of Queens of the Stone Age.
Oh, my God. Like, when did they become metal?
The Revolver, Golden Gods, Best Live Band, Rob Zombie.
Can I just derail us again for a second? I have a great respect for Rob Zombie, particularly the material he did with White Zombie. I enjoy his directing of movies. I liked his first two solo albums. I haven't cared for much of anything that he's done in the last decade. And the one time that I saw him live, this was with White Zombie, so it was a while ago.
Was it Ozfest?
No, it was actually White Zombie and the Ramones at the Palace of Auburn Hills in Michigan back in the day. He sounded horrible. I couldn't stand it.
To me, he was always like a Alice Cooper on stage. More kind of like the stage show.
Well, yeah, but Alice sounds amazing.
Alice sounds amazing.
Alice Cooper is one of the greatest live shows I've ever seen or heard.
Yeah.
So, granted, I haven't listened to Rob Zombie in a long time. I mean, live. So maybe he's gotten better. But that was a surprise to me.
So you would consider Revolver a metal magazine, right? They cover metal bands?
Sure.
Okay. The award for most devoted fans in metal.
Okay, first of all, what the fuck is that award?
I don't know. In this digital age, maybe the ones who tweet the most or the ones who post the most Instagram pictures in their band shirts. I don't know.
It's high school. It's a popularity contest.
The most devoted fans, Avenged Sevenfold.
Whatever.
Best New Talent, 12-foot ninja.
Okay, don't even get me started on these guys. After I saw this, I had to go back and listen to another song by these guys just to be sure I knew what I was talking about. Not metal at all. And they keep playing them on Liquid Metal. Jose, what the fuck?
Oh, I can't stand him, personally.
I like Jose. I think he's kind of cool, but I don't understand some of the bands that he puts on there. He's all like, 12-foot ninja! And I'm like, wait, did I hit the wrong channel? What is this? This is not metal. They sound like great musicians. Yeah. Not my thing. Metal. Not metal.
Just like how Deftones is coming up on Liquid Metal.
I really think we need to add a section to this podcast called Not Metal.
This is your Not Metal Band of the Week. I'm going to skip over this next award because that's the real point I wanted to bring this up. The Paul Gray Best Bassist Award.
I didn't see that one.
Goes to Chris Cale, Five Finger Death Punch.
Okay. Five Finger... I've liked them in the past. I actually have to admit, I haven't heard their latest like double release, so I can't really make too much of an opinion on that. Obviously not one of the more extreme metal bands, but it definitely a more commercial-sounding, appealing band. But still, okay, I can deal with that.
The best film and DVD was Pierce the Veil.
Okay. Prepare for me to go off. First of all, who the fuck are Pierce the Veil?
Don't ask
Who's
me.
That chick that sings for them?
Award winners.
It sounded like a girl to me. And correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Metallica release a film last year?
Yep, we went out and saw it.
How is that not going to win?
I thought Through the Never was amazing.
Over some band release. That's not even metal. Not metal.
This was a full, multi-million dollar full 3D theatrical release in theaters.
And it blew both of us away.
Yes. My wife even joined us. She loved it. We've since watched it 4 or 5 times at the house.
Yep.
We still love it.
It's a great production.
It's a great production.
And to lose, were they even, I guess it's not a nominated kind of thing. It's fan voting.
It's a fan voting game.
What? Who are these people that are voting? No. They're not even a metal band.
In all of metal, again, the fans voted for Revolver of metal bands. The best metal drummer, according to Revolver fans and readers, Aaron Iljay of Avenged Sevenfold.
Okay,
how about
well.
Your Gene's?
What's that?
How about like your Gene?
Oh, Gene Hoglan?
Yeah.
Of course.
See, these guys.
Again, Avenged Sevenfold.
Dave isn't even in the running.
Avenged Sevenfold is a band that has converted me over the years. I know they're not true metal, but they do some cool stuff for a more commercial Hot Topic type band. I don't want to insult them in any way. I dig what they do. It's cool that somebody is bringing a heavier music to the masses. And this is a new drummer, is it not? Because
it is.
Mike Portnoy was playing with them before.
After their original guy, I think he died.
Yeah, he died.
Mike came
the Rev.
In. Yeah, Mike came in, filled in for a while. When he left Dream Theater, he came in, filled in for them. I thought he may have stayed because the commercial success that Avenged Sevenfold sees.
They didn't want him anymore.
Yeah, they didn't want him. So he left. This guy comes in.
So in a way, it's kind of cool that the new guy's getting some recognition, but come on. There are metal drummers, like you said, Gene, Nick Barker. I don't know if Nick's done anything in the last year, but Dave Lombardo.
That's just what I said.
Anything, yeah.
There are some drummers out there who just, you would think, seem hands down to win.
So what's next?
The most metal athlete. This one I don't have, sorry, Song of the Year. Five Finger Death Punch, Lift Me Up. Never heard it, so.
Lift me up and turn me, oh, wait, that's yes.
Most metal athlete, Josh Barnett. This one, I don't have a problem with. He's a mixed martial artist. He always wears a bolt thrower shirt.
Who is he?
He's a UFC fighter.
No. Oh, he's not even a metal guy.
Yeah, but no. But this was the most metal athlete award.
I saw that and I was like, what band's he?
Only other metal athlete I know is Dan Boyle. He plays for these defensemen for the Sharks.
Right on.
He's a metalhead. Cool. In fact, Brian Slagle's had him on his podcast.
Brian Slagle.
A couple times talking metal. The Dimebag Darrell. For best guitarist.
Say that again.
I'm sorry. The Dimebag Darrell for award for best guitarist. and Sinister Gates and Zachy Vengeance are your best guitarists.
I know those names.
From Avenged Sevenfold.
Of course they are.
Yeah.
So it's not really the Golden Gods Awards. It's the Avenged Sevenfold and Five Finger Death Punch Awards.
And all of these are sponsored by Hot Topic.
Of course.
Your album of the year, Black Sabbath 13.
Finally, metal.
But hold on. That's where we're going to get to. And your Golden God Award goes to Joan Jett.
That one is a tough one to talk about. I've been a Joan Jett fan for decades. I love what she does, and especially what she's done. But come on, not metal. Hello.
And I don't listen to her, so I never really listen to her. So I can't. I don't have a say on her.
I know where you're going.
And your Ronnie James Dio Lifetime Achievement Award, Axl Rose.
What?
Yeah. But the thing that I wanted to really... You have something to say about Axl Rose getting a Lifetime Achievement Award?
You got to respect Axl for his 2-3 albums worth of output in the 80s. This is a lifetime achievement.
Has he had a lifetime of really still achieving?
Not a lot. I mean, I didn't care for Chinese Democracy.
I saw it on vinyl the other day. I passed it up quickly.
It's cool to recognize him, but there's a lot of other people that could have gotten that reward that are perhaps a little more deserving.
So when you heard Black Sabbath 13 last year, instantly you gave it to your album of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. It hooked me right away. But what I wanted to really get your take on is Revolver gave their Comeback of the Year award. Did you see this?
I did.
To Deep Purple.
I'm a big Deep Purple fan. But you know what? You know what's not Deep Purple? Deep Purple without Ritchie Blackmore.
Yes. And apparently Scott Ian gave this award away, and he tweeted about it later.
I love Scotty.
Yeah, you know, blown away with that Black Sabbath.
Yep.
Yeah, he got passed up on this. This was the first Sabbath recording, what was it, since 76 or 8?
78, I think.
Yeah. The original, you know, minus Bill Ward.
I think he left the band in 80, but yeah. It's a monumental landmark album.
Without a doubt.
Deep Purple. Did anybody even listen to Deep Purple last year? No. Who's in the band these days?
I pulled him up on Wikipedia earlier.
I mean, I don't know what. I think Ian Gillan is still on vocals, and I love Ian. But last I heard, like, Joe Satriani was in the band, and I don't... There's just no way in hell that should not have gone to Black Sabbath.
But the album was Deep Purple, Now What?
I remember that coming out, but sorry.
Was there a 19th album?
I missed
album?
That one.
Yep. Let's see who's on the drum. Ian Pace on drums. Ian Gillan on vocals.
Those
Glover on bass. Stephen Morse on guitar.
Oh, yeah, Morse.
And Don Avery on keyboards.
Well, that's mostly Deep Purple, but...
But that's Sabbath.
There's just no way. I mean, come on.
So this is probably the modern day
Jethro Tull.
Yes.
Metallica Jethro Tull moment. Yes.
Yeah. So I wanted to get your take on that.
And it's, you know, what's funny is that Revolver can't even be blamed. They're like, hey, we didn't pick them. You know, the fans picked them. Obviously, the fans are a bunch of dumb shits.
Yeah.
This is pathetic.
So Jethro Tull is your comeback artist of the year.
Hey, I like Jethro Tull, too.
I'm sorry. Not Jethro Tull. I'm sorry.
Deep Purple.
Deep Purple.
And I like Deep Purple. So I don't want to insult the guys, but this is a real, what do they say, travesty of justice.
Yeah. Because, you know, with Tony and his health right now, who knows how long, you know, he may be here. So
Tony will be eternal. Yes, do not speak like that.
These guys need all the awards they can get for at least getting together and even putting this album out.
So, next up, let's talk about what we've been listening to this week. What have you been listening to?
I have been listening to an album you actually turned me on to.
Nice.
It is the Hark Crystalline album.
I just got that on vinyl last week.
Did you really?
Yes.
This album is a real, you know, sludge metal album.
I likened it to Baroness.
Hmm?
Or Baroness, as they like to say.
I likened it to early Crowbar.
Okay.
I was kind of hearing some early, like I said, the first or two Crowbar albums.
Mm-hmm.
I was hearing in this. This is a Welsh trio.
Yeah.
The lead singer used to be in a band called Taint.
Okay.
Just sludge, really good sludge metal, really crushing, I mean, sludgy riffs. I just love. Yeah, you turned on this album.
That was a great album. I'm impressed that you are listening to
it. Yeah, for fans of Crowbar, Mastodon, Baroness, check this album out. It's their first album debut release. Really good.
Excellent. Me, before I get into what I've been listening to this week, today I got a couple of new albums in the mail, and I'm giddy, and I have to talk about them. These are all on vinyl. I got Entombed's second album, Clandestine. I got Creator's Pleasure to Kill. I've been looking for that one. And one that you never see on vinyl, Life of Agony's second album, Ugly.
Mm-hmm.
This was only printed on vinyl in the Netherlands and Germany.
Really?
And this appears to be, I haven't checked it yet, but it appears to be one of the Netherlands copies. So it's actually from 1995. Anyway, what I've been listening to this week is an unofficial release.
To go back to Life of Agony for a second, do you have River Runs Red?
Original? On vinyl?
Yeah.
Not an original. I have one, original. The reissue from last year.
Okay.
What I've been listening to this week is, it's not an official album, but I found it on Bandcamp. Actually, I first heard it on YouTube and then discovered it was available on Bandcamp, is a Woods of Ypres live album.
Whoa, man, you're taking my breath away. I thought I'm the live album guy.
I know,
Wow.
I am so man crush on David Gold, rest in peace, brother, that anything and everything that's Woods of Ypres, I'm going to grab. I've got all the albums on CD now. I've got 3, 4, and 5 on vinyl. Last week, I pre-ordered Woods 2 on vinyl, and I don't know what made me think of it, but I went on YouTube just looking for, I wonder if there's any like live concerts that...
Was it that you said that you had actually ordered doubles of something? Is that maybe why you were looking again? Remember you told me that you had doubles?
I do have something. 2 copies of Woods 3, yeah, because I ordered one of the colored versions.
That's it.
And then I realized I didn't order the most limited one. And
yes,
as you know,
maybe that's why you're online. Okay.
I realized I didn't get the one that I actually wanted. So I went ahead and ordered the more rare version, because that's the kind of consumer that I am.
Was he printing these himself before his passing?
He did have his own label, Krankenhaus.
Because I know that these, I ask because I know that they're extremely limited.
Right. The first 3 albums were hard to find. The 4th album he put out on Earache, and the 5th album. And now Earache is going back and reissuing.
Hmm.
So this live album, it doesn't appear to be through any sort of label or anything. It says something about fan tribute or something. I don't know.
Like a true bootleg?
Yeah, basically.
A Grateful Dead bootleg?
Maybe. It says something about recorded by Station 4, so I think maybe it's a TV station or a radio station recording. It the quality is what made me...
Is it like a soundboard quality recording?
It's at least a soundboard or better quality recording. I started watching the video on YouTube, and I was like, whoa, this sounds really good. There's a lot of, you know, cell phone footage and things like that on YouTube, and it just sounds horrible.
Yeah. But
this actually sounds really good. So I had to get a copy of it, and I've been just listening the shit out of it because I love me some Woods of Ypres. Have I mentioned that before?
Hello.
I love Woods of Ypres. I'm so sad that there's no David anymore, but what are you going to do?
After you and him had your little tiff, but that's a story for a different episode.
Actually, I won't go into it too much, but this... The last couple days, I was feeling rather sad about No More David, and I went back through my email looking for the last Twitter exchange we had.
If you look at his Twitter feed, it's there in his last couple months.
Yeah, I couldn't find the emails, but I did favorite those emails, the Twitter exchanges, and I went back and read them, and I'm like, I'm such an asshole. The last time I talked to him, he was mad at me. He died mad at me.
He did.
And that just breaks my heart. But what are you going to do?
Some things you can't take back.
Yeah. Fucking. What the hell was the name of that? Junius?
Yeah. Fucking Junius.
Fucking Junius. Sounds like Coldplay singing metal tunes out of tune.
And you'd send another tweet out right now if you could.
Yeah. So, last week, we talked about how we talked about Record Store Day. Yep. We talked about how you got a turntable.
Yes.
In your first vinyl.
Yes.
It's been a little over a week yep. now. How is vinyl treating you?
So I went home that day, installed it, sat down. First album I played was the Rainbow live album.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have nice speakers. I have nice Martin Logan speakers. I have nice electrostatic speakers.
Probably sounds a lot better than mine.
I go home, I put on the Rainbow live, and you always had told me it's a warm, mm-hmm. full sound. So I was expecting nice.
Yeah.
But I wasn't expecting what I got. Totally. It sounds, I know I always say this about live albums, that they capture the concert itself.
Sure.
But it never captures really the sound of it. It's hard to describe right now, but listening to that vinyl record, my first one really in my lifetime,
mm-hmm.
captured. It's the sound is so full that it instantly hooked me.
Yeah.
Instantly, just the clarity of it, the every tone.
Clarity is a good
it's word just it's to just a it. Full warm sound.
To me it almost sounds like they're playing in the room with you.
That's the best description I've heard of it.
Yeah.
I have enjoyed the sound from that so much. The Opeth Watershed Record Store Day exclusive. Mm-hmm. I haven't even listened to that yet.
Wow.
Just because that live album sounds just like you said. It sounds like they're 10 feet from me.
Right.
Playing.
So is it safe to say that you are a fan of vinyl yes. now?
That's why I have gone out and procured a couple more vinyl right records.
On. What'd you get?
I recently got Deep Purple, Live in Japan.
Deep Purple, comeback album of the year.
That's one of the critically acclaimed live albums.
I've got that one too. It's incredible.
I got, look at this. Wow, if we only knew what the topics I'd bring up for this podcast. I got Black Sabbath 13.
Hell yeah.
Which I know
album
you got.
Album of the year. Yeah, yes. I pre-ordered that.
Yeah, it was your pre-order you got. Yeah, yep.
You gotta.
I got British Steel.
Judas Priest.
And.
Oh, before we move on, I have to. Did I don't know if you heard it. They posted a new song from the new album.
I saw that. I didn't hear it.
Redeemer of Souls sounds like a...
It's their first one without...
KK.
On, yeah.
Yeah. I gotta admit, I didn't care for the last two albums that much. Mm-hmm.
The Nostradamus one.
Nostradamus and Angel of Retribution. Mm-hmm. Not as good as the earlier albums. But this song, maybe I'm just being overly excited and...
Maybe your expectations are...
Optimistic.
Okay.
But... It sounded pretty good, so we'll see how it turns out. Anyway, moving on.
So, I'm hooked on vinyl.
Hell yeah, man.
Absolutely hooked on it.
Right
you
on.
Can go out and, I find myself checking eBay all the time for what's out there.
This makes me very happy. Buke goes to stores with me and sits there patiently while I dig through bins and I buy all this vinyl and... He doesn't get anything out of it other than my...
Seeing your happiness. Yep.
Seeing my happiness. And, how altruistic is that? You got to love it. So I'm happy that now when we go out, you'll be able to get something out of it too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I will have to broaden my horizons more, which I don't do right now so much with music.
Mm-hmm.
But since, a lot of metal is hard to come by on vinyl as it is, original releases and stuff like that... I have to broaden my horizons more with...
That's good.
And I've heard jazz albums.
Oh, yeah.
Sound excellent.
I've got a Miles Davis one that I picked up recently, kind of blue. Great.
Yeah. I've heard jazz sounds amazing. So I'm hooked on vinyl. I can't thank you enough for turning me on to it.
You're welcome. So there's another topic that I wanted to start covering regularly on the show. I thought it would be cool to talk about a favorite album that we have by a particular band, classic bands, what have you. And the one that I chose for this week is such a huge band with such a catalog, I decided to go with our top three albums by this band.
And once you sent me for me to start pulling my out my answer for this question, I really got excited because since your knowledge is decades longer than mine,
Mine's longer than yours. We have it on record.
Yes. You have so much more to pull from. Yes. I like getting your input because
I think I'm going to surprise you.
And I think I may too. I think my number one is really going to surprise you. But I think it's not going to surprise you once I say it because mm-hmm. you know us driving in the car and listening to so much music. When sure. you know, I think my vocal stylings I like in singing and stuff, I think it might not. So you want to go first? You want me to go first?
I'll go first.
Yeah, you want to go first? Go ahead.
Well, I mean, feel free.
I will go first.
All right.
How about that?
Fair enough.
My number three, I put down Peace of Mind.
Hell yeah, that's one of mine.
You know, the Trooper, Die With Your Boots On.
You can't go wrong.
It starts out, you know, Where Eagles Dare, Revelations.
Yeah, that is, I didn't actually rank my top three, like one favorite, two favorite, three favorite.
These are ranked for me.
Right. For me, I didn't actually think about it. I was just like, these are in my top three. And Peace of Mind was one of mine. It was actually the first Maiden album that I got on vinyl.
Hmm.
And every song on there, I love. There's some deep tracks on there, maybe. Yeah, I guess you call them deep tracks. Mm-hmm. Songs like To Tame a Land, Sun and Steel, Still Life. Those are all incredible Maiden tunes. You don't hear them enough, but every song on that album, obviously, Revelations, Die With Your Boots On, The Trooper, you can't go wrong with this album, so I'm with you there.
My number two is the one you first gave me. The first Iron Maiden album, you said, start with this album. Sure. This is your introduction to Iron Maiden?
I bet I know what it is.
Power Slave.
Yeah.
That's Ace is High, 2 minutes to midnight, Power Slave.
Rhyme. Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner.
Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner is one of, if not my top Iron Maiden song.
If I had to pick a top, Power Slave would be mine. This is my other... You've got me two for three here.
No.
Power Slave was my first introduction to Iron Maiden. I bought this album in 1984, 30 years ago.
I was one.
When it first came out, I bought it. I was like, holy crap, Iron Maiden.
Let me say that again. I was one.
You were one.
So George has me beat. He knows his metal.
I am old.
Yes.
I am, what do they call it on that Ian Christie? It's a show? That Greybeards? I'm a gray beard, literally and figuratively.
What do you think my number one is?
Gosh, that's tough. I'm not sure if you're going to guess. You can guess my number one. It's not my number one, but it's in my top three. Mm-hmm. Power Slave would be my number one.
Hmm.
I have no idea. The anticipation's killing me.
Brave New World.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
I am a fan of Iron Maiden chorus.
The Ghost of Navigator.
Yes. When you get, especially it's those South American live albums that they record.
Live in Rio. Rock in Rio, I guess it was.
Yeah, Rock in Rio, when they do the Flight 666 and they're in.
Great movie.
The En Vivo live that they put out a couple
Pierce
years
the Veil
back.
Would have beaten
yes.
Rock in Rio, or the Flight 666, but you know.
The Wicker Man.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost of the Navigator,
Brave New World,
Blood Brothers, chorus for Blood Brothers, just those four songs for me.
Yeah.
Just when you hear 70, 80,000 fans singing along with the band,
yes.
Bruce, and
yes.
it's
amazing.
And that was, you know, Bruce's return back to the band.
Yes, that was awesome. I was so happy that he came back.
Wasn't that their first album as a three-piece?
Three-piece. They were never a three-piece. You mean with three guitars?
On three guitars.
Yes.
Yes,
with both Adrian, Dave,
yes.
and Yannick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, I want to ask you about that. Do you think that's too much?
Hell no.
Of course not.
More Maiden, more guitar. You can't
exactly.
go wrong there.
Exactly.
I'm a fan of all three.
So, you know, out of the Silent Planet off that album, that to me is my number one Maiden album.
Right on. So do you have any guesses as to what my... It's not my top Maiden album, but it is in my top three guess.
Knowing you, being the... See, this is where I'm in a battle. If you're a Bruce or a Paul guy.
Uh-huh. You know where I'm going with this.
I know where you're going. Is it their first or is it Killers?
It is their first.
It is their first, really?
I have to include Paul Di'Anno.
Hmm.
I'm such a fan of Bruce Dickinson. I mean, he makes the band for me. But you can't ignore Paul Di'Anno. And Yeah, it's kind of a toss-up between the first album and Killers. But for me, the first album, it's got Running Free, which...
Killer song.
I love that song. And you cannot beat Phantom of the Opera.
Oh.
Epic song.
Is there not a Maiden song in any album that you can just like you said, Running Free... Instantly, you get the chorus in your head. Yeah. Yes, you get the song.
I'm
in your
running
head.
Free. Yes. Do we have to pay for that for me singing that?
Probably not. But you know, every Maiden song is like that.
And then you know, it's got Charlotte the Harlot, cool song. But the live staple song, the title song from the title album from the band Iron Maiden, they close out every show with that song. It's cool. I mean, it's like the Manowar doing the song Manowar in their shows. It defines the band. And so, yeah, if I'm going to pick top three albums, the first Iron Maiden's got to be in there.
The reason I didn't pick the first two Maiden for me is I guess that's not the Maiden that Bruce turned Maiden into.
Sure.
The singing styles on those two are...
Vastly different.
Bruce, you know, brings that Dio style operatic, you know, vocal stylings out there that...
Sure. I mean, off the top of my head here, top three metal vocalists all time. For me, Dio, Dickinson, Halford.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go wrong there.
Yeah. So, I guess I didn't go with those first two because while there's great songs on both of them, it's... That's not the Maiden that I'm...
Sure. I mean, that's why I decided to go with three for them, because there's so many albums, and I wanted to include Paul.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to only choose one, it would obviously be Power Slave.
Would you ever start somebody with those first two Maiden albums?
No. No. I mean, No. You got to go with Bruce.
Yeah.
I love Bruce. Everybody loves Bruce. Bruce is the way to start. But you cannot forget Paul Di'Anno. He is the man. He started with Maiden. Check him out.
Yes.
So, in the news lately, we've been hearing about a new release from a particular band that I know you care for. A little band called Opeth.
Yes.
What are you thinking about this new release that is coming out here in another month and change?
No. They've already titled it Pale Communion.
Pale Communion, yes.
I say there to gather my thoughts because I want to be accurate with this, is that I'm an Opeth fan number one, more than any other band. I love anything that Opeth puts out.
Sure.
I think they are slowly changing the metal fans that have followed them.
Evolving.
Exactly. I think you look back to the reception with Damnation.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I are both on Record Store Day listening to the Metal Sucks podcast.
Yeah.
When when they interviewed Michael, and he came right out and said, again, another album, no growling vocals.
And the metal fans were sad.
Yeah, they were. This is now the third album in a row where they have moved on.
I just got Heritage on vinyl the other day. And I was playing it, and you know, it's cool, it's great.
I remember.
So I'm not too put out by the fact that he's not doing harsh vocals, and I'm really curious to see what the new album's going to sound like.
I remember the last couple of times I've seen Opeth live. I think 14 or so times.
Wow.
The last couple of times Opeth came around, you didn't want to come see them with me.
Not because I don't like them. It's just
you've seen them.
I've seen them. You know what you're getting. Handful of times and. But there was no reason to go see them.
The last
once
time
again.
We saw them, they toured with Ghost and Mastodon.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you distinctly telling me after they played a lot of the Heritage album.
Yeah.
You turned to me and you said, that was heavy.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like they're not heavy. It's just the vocals are not harsh. And Mike's got a great, clean voice.
Mm-hmm.
So honestly, if you're a fan of the band, I can't see why you'd complain. And,
you know, I'm glad you brought this up because, you know, the Metal Sucks guys got to discuss this, but I really wanted to get your opinion. Is it fair for fans to be up in arms about this? Because this is, if you're at that T intersection,
mm-hmm.
you have growling vocals on your left, clean vocals on your right. Opeth didn't try and maybe sit at that stop sign for a while to try and find the middle road. They went about as far right as you can go.
Yeah, but let me tell you about another little band you may have heard of called Metallica. They have been dealing with people complaining about the things that they do on each successive new album for years.
Like from the guy talking right now?
I am guilty of... I don't judge them.
During our times as best friends, I've heard you say fuck Metallica a couple times, though.
Who likes Saint Anger? Come on. It was a horrible album. Horrendous. But they have since recovered from that. I thought Death Magnetic was great.
Amazing.
I didn't like Lulu, but I respect that they... It was something they had to do from a creative standpoint. I respect that they wanted to play with this guy, and turns out they were the last people to play with this guy. I didn't care for it, but that's not because I don't like them. It's because I've never been a big fan of...
You talking about Lou Reed?
I've never been a big fan of Lou Reed. He talks more than he sings. He doesn't sing at all. He talks. So, you know, whatever. I can't fault them for doing what they want to do. They've done everything else. They've played in Antarctica, you know, whatever. And the same thing with Opeth. Fans need to understand that Mike wants to play what Mike wants to play. It's never been about the fans. It's been about what Mike wants to play. And if it happens to be death metal vocals, then that's what you get. If it's not, then, you know, either you like it or you don't. So deal with it.
Do you still call them a heavy metal band?
The music's still pretty heavy, so sure, why not? I mean, I don't know if Mike calls them metal, but... I mean, he's very...
He has been very outspoken on the fact that he's a fan of 70s rock.
Prog rock.
Yeah, prog rock, yes. And that's what he's, you know, trying to reproduce.
Sure, but even in that last interview we heard, he doesn't say that he doesn't like... He doesn't not like metal. He still enjoys death metal. He just, creatively, that's not where he is. But he can't... He feels like he's played it out, and he can't think of new ways to make it...
He has echoed and what you have told me in conversation many times, that death metal kind of stagnant right now.
It is very stagnant.
And he doesn't feel like he can contribute anything new. Yes.
Yeah, I love death metal. There's a lot of classic death metal albums that I enjoy. But right now...
It's just like, remember, I think the thing that got me the most in that interview that he conducted is, remember he said, what are you going to do? Make it faster.
Right.
You're going to scream more. You're going to play the guitar faster. You're going to do...
Exactly. You know, there are a few death metal albums that I'm like the new Autopsy this week. I listen to that and I dig it. It's cool. It's not innovative. It's nothing new. So in Mike's case, if he wants to do something new, well then, yeah, maybe you need to move on to something else. The new Massacre album that came out a few weeks ago. Incredible. But there's just so many death metal bands right now that they're just sort of recycling what's come before, and it doesn't entice me to listen to more than one song. I'm like, meh, whatever, move on.
But I'll be there day one buying it. I will buy it on vinyl now also. I will see them on tour when they come around.
Yep.
I'm
waiting for the vinyl pre-order.
I still think that Opeth as a band are... geniuses to me.
Yeah. You know, as big a fan of vinyl as Mike is, why is it so hard to find Opeth on vinyl?
It's a great point. That is a great point.
He has a massive vinyl collection. He talks about it somewhat regularly. We
interviewed him and asked him about that.
Like, why is it so hard to find Opeth on vinyl? Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Anyway, because you have them and I can't get them.
I have all of them on vinyl now except for Ghost Reveries.
You have Orchid?
I do have Orchid. Mm. So.
That's nice.
Yep.
Are those all original?
No.
Are they just reissues?
I mean, some of them are reissues. Hmm. I'm not sure. Probably most of them.
Wow.
Let's move on to our classics of the week. Last week, you brought up, actually, the band that I was listening to this week for my classic, which was Cemetery. You brought that up, and I was like, oh my God, I haven't listened to Cemetery in years. And so this week, I actually, it's not one album, but three. I went back and I listened to all the early Cemetery albums. Back in the mid-90s, when metal was, I mean, death metal and black metal were starting to emerge as like the big thing mm-hmm. in metal. But because I wasn't necessarily aware of that yet, grunge was the whole big thing in the popular music. And so there wasn't a lot of metal that I could find. And one of the bands that I came across in the mid-90s that I really dug was Cemetery. And so I went back this week and I listened to their first couple of albums, and it was like, you know, what do they call that? Memory Lane?
Yep.
So I have to talk about the first three albums. I'll keep it brief, but the first album, An Evil Shade of Grey. Classic early mid-90s death metal album. Reminds me a lot of Tiamat, or how the fuck mm-hmm. you say it. You know, the music is metal, but the vocals are harsh. Great classic album. I've been looking for this one on vinyl. It exists. I have not found a copy yet. Their second album, Godless Beauty. I'm sure you're aware of that one. A little more groove element introduced with this album, but still very early death.
Mm-hmm.
Great album. Can't recommend it enough. Third album is the one you mentioned last week, was Black Vanity. Eventually, Cemetery moved into much more electronic and gothic sound. Yeah. And Black Vanity was the first album to sort of start in that progression, but it's still kind of death metal, some harsh vocals, a little bit of, I don't want to say clean, but not so harsh vocals. You gotta hear this band. I'm sure kids these days coming up probably don't know about this band. You need to listen to Cemetery.
Yes. That Black Vanity album is awesome.
Yeah. Godless Beauty. There's a song on there called...
That Bitter Seed is my favorite song on it.
That is a good song. Now She Walks in Shadows is the opening track off Godless Beauty. Killer song. Now she walks the shadows. Now she haunts the night.
Yeah.
You gotta love it. Good stuff. Cemetery. Check them out.
Mine is, I like melodic ballads almost sometime. And this album was a change for this band. It really was released in 1989. And John Oliva, had kind of taken the band Sabotage in a different direction on this album.
Yes.
He had kind of, they were more a true metal band, before this. With a little thrashier sound prior to this. 1989 came around. And they released their Gutter Ballet album.
It's a gutter ballet.
I always go back to this frickin' album and that song. As a progressive metal album.
I'm surprised it didn't go Hall of the Mountain King.
That's what a lot of people say to start with.
My first
track to this album, man, I love it. The guitar work,
you gotta,
is killer. It's a shame it's his brother.
Chris Oliva, yeah.
Yep, was killed in a car accident.
Fucking drunk drivers.
Yep.
If you're going to drink, fucking get a...
Yep, get a designated driver. I think that was that driver's like seventh or eighth time driving.
That's ridiculous. And we were robbed.
Yeah. Yep, but...
John has not had luck. John Oliva's Pain, the guitarist,
mm-hmm.
died recently. Well, not recently, but a few years ago.
Hmm.
But I hear that they have a new guitar player and are actually going to do a new album, I believe.
Their album that was released last year, that he put out last year.
Anything with John Oliva.
Yeah.
My first Sabotage album was actually Power of the Night. I bought that on cassette at a place called Record Town, long out of business, Ann Arbor, Michigan, at the Briarwood Mall. I mentioned that once in a while in my reviews. I bought it. It was like in the, discount bin. And I was like, what's this? And I was like, all right, Sabotage. Yeah. And that was my start. So I have a sentimental attachment to that album. But Hall of the Mountain King, Gutter Ballet, any of those, any Sabotage, you got to love. And of course, John now doing the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Yes. And you had mentioned it earlier with the Iron Maiden song, Phantom of the Opera. I was reading a piece about that. John had actually recently watched it.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of gave him some inspiration.
Awesome.
With the sound that Gutter Ballet came out with, to kind of take the band in that direction with that sound that they came out with that. So.
Excellent, excellent. All right, well, I think we're going to wrap it up this week. So, as I mentioned earlier, you can find us on iTunes. You can also stream the podcast on the new website, wearemetalheads.com. You can also check out Metal Disciple stuff on metaldisciple.com. We're also on Facebook there and Twitter and YouTube. The podcast will also be available on YouTube once I get that up there. Let us know what you think. Get a hold of us.
Leave us a review, subscribe, please. Share your comments, please.
Excellent.
Tell a friend.
Yeah. All right. Well, until next time.
We really appreciate you.
I'm George.
And I'm Buke.
Take it easy.